listeners. I'm Joni B. Cole, host of Author Can I Ask You? For people like me who love books and the stories behind the books, this show gives me the chance to ask authors about what they write and why they write. Plus, I like to throw in a few odd questions just to get to know each author a little bit better as a person. Let's get started and meet today's guest. Today, I welcome Eliza Jane Brazier, whose brand new book, Good Rich People, is a riveting psychological thriller and then some. Good Rich People was named the most anticipated novel of 2022 by the New York Times, Prime Reads, and a host of other early reviewers. Eliza is also the author of last year's equally twisted suspense, If I Disappear, which she is currently developing for television. Welcome to my podcast, Eliza, and thank you for writing Good Rich People, because it is exactly the kind of page-turner I live for when I want to spend an entire weekend reading a book.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Eliza, in Good Rich People, the first sentence is a killer, no pun intended. The book opens, "There is blood in the fountain, turning the water an eerie rust color. I call someone to drain it." That dispassionate voice belongs to one of your main characters, Lila, who married rich but pays for it every day with her soul. Can you talk a little bit about Lila, who she is, and what makes her tick, or maybe what makes her a little bit sick?
I mean, gosh, I think that she's just somebody who has bought into this idea that if she has money, that she's going to have a better life or the good life, and she's finding that that is not the case. I mean, like you said, she's feeling obviously like there's a sort of maybe more to life than what she has. But at the same time, she's also a very dark person. I mean, to get to where she is, she had to be very crafty and dispassionate. So she's now found herself in this situation where she doesn't feel that she can escape. She's also herself not the best person, but I think that she wants to be a better person.
I heard in an interview, Eliza, that when you were still writing the manuscript for Good Rich People, you said something really interesting, which was, "My next book is a thriller. It basically takes the piss out of rich people." Why were you inspired to want to take the piss out of rich people?
Oh, gosh, really just anger and frustration. So this book was incited by the fact that I myself lived below the poverty line for nearly a decade of my life, actually in London, right? With my late husband. And he was a musician. So during that time, even though we were like super sort of struggling and going through a lot of really difficult stuff, which I allude to in the book and which is fictionalized in the book, we would go sometimes to the homes of like these extremely wealthy people because he would play shows there or, you know, just kind of have the connections through being a musician. So it was just like that juxtaposition of us going in there in like our dirty borrowed clothes and going into these houses. For example, like there's in the book, they keep talking about having like moe. I went to this one house once. It was like a penthouse and it was like two floors of a huge building looking over the park. And inside of the cupboards, every single cupboard was filled with moe. That's all they had. They didn't have food. They just had like moe in the fridge, all of the cupboards. Like it was just mental. And the house looked like a casino. Like it was so big. And so, yeah, for me, like, I think a lot of it was just driven from a lot of the frustration and trauma I had from having personally experienced not having money and what all of that entails. So initially writing the book, it was like therapeutic for me. And I went through sort of several drafts where it felt more like it was personal and to eventually kind of make it into a story that I felt was like entertaining. Because initially it was just like me kind of being depressed, I think, and like, you know, like going through all this stuff. And it eventually, like I added the humorous element and the game to kind of make it, I think, more palatable and compelling, but also like balance. So it wasn't just about one thing.
Let's spend a minute talking about your other narrator in the book, Demi, a young homeless woman who gets entangled in the twisted lives of Lila and her husband, Graham. On the surface, these two women seem so different, but do you think deep down they had similarities?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that both of them are dissatisfied with their lives, don't really kind of understand why. And in a way sort of want what the other one has. I think that they're both just very like isolated, right? Like, you know, like Demi doesn't really have close friend, neither does Lila. Like they're both feel like they almost like need each other in a way.
I just have to spend a moment on one other character in your book, Graham. Lila's super rich, beyond good looking, perpetually bored husband. Please tell me you didn't base Graham on a real person.
I mean, to be honest, like I always, sorry, no, I'm sorry. So, I mean, I always try to like stick in realistic details from real people. And I would say that Graham, there's maybe like characters that he could partly be inspired by, but also definitely real people. I feel he is almost like a method actor trying to act like everybody else or act like a wealthy person or act like a, I don't know, like quote unquote normal person, right? What he thinks is normal. And I've definitely met people like that for sure. Extremely wealthy people who were really bored and aggressive or violent or, you know, would just try to say the most shocking thing or do the most shocking thing or tell these horrible, outrageous stories, you know? And I think that there is an element of reality to the character, to be honest. And that was one thing that was interesting too about, you know, has been interesting about talking to people about this book is that I feel like most people have a story, like at least one story of an interaction with someone who was extremely wealthy that is actually very close to what is depicted in this book.
Could you read a bit from the book, maybe just a short passage that you feel like sharing for whatever reason?
Like I said, the backstory for the character of Demi, a lot of it was inspired by my own actual experiences. So I just wanted to read a couple of paragraphs. The reason that this selection is just important to me is because when I was in that situation, I never imagined that I would ever get out of it. I never thought that one day I would have like a job or healthcare or a house. And I just think it's important to me to share that message of hope to people who might be in that situation, who might not be able to imagine that their life could ever be different. Because it can happen, like it happened to me. It feels surreal, but it can, you know? So I will begin. So my childhood was not idyllic, not in the traditional sense, but it was mine. My mother died in childbirth, so my dad raised me. Some fathers wouldn't have, and I always felt special for that. I remember trips to the grocery store where my dad used to steal, usually steaks or salmon, always bottles of wine. I didn't see it as a crime. I saw it as a game and proof that he loved me. Our whole life was a game, a kind of dare. Can you survive without a washing machine with two small shoes? You've got $11 in your bank account and 7 days to wait for food stamps. Go. All of our furniture was sourced from the side of the road. So we had two huge executive desks with rolling office chairs, a brass bed, a piss-stained sofa we covered with scarves and caftans. We collected furniture we didn't need because anything free was too good to pass up. By the time I was a teenager, our studio was filled with armoires and dressers and dining room chairs stacked to the ceiling. The dressers were filled with electrical cords, old radios, headphones, drills and saws and tools we didn't know how to use. Anything that worked or could be fixed or figured out, my dad had to take. He wasn't a hoarder. He was a survivor.
That's wonderful. And I'm particularly glad that you chose that passage because I've been talking about how the plot is so riveting. It is clearly suspense. It's a thriller. It's a page turner. But there is deep characterization in here, not to mention just beautiful writing. And that passage certainly conveys the depth of the characters in this book. There was something in one of her sections. The book is kind of divvied up between Lida's point of view and Demi's point of view. And it came early on in Demi's point of view, but it was so moving. She was struggling to find a place to sleep every night. This is after her father's passed. And she says something, and I didn't have the exact line in front of me, was, you know, when you're homeless, basically all your attention goes to trying to find out where you're going to sleep that night.
Well, and just like to like quickly speak to that. I mean, I think I feel embarrassed in a lot of ways about my own past. And I think a lot of that is because people will say things like, oh, you know, they just want it easy. They don't want to, you know, work or whatever it is. And the reality is that the people that I knew who were struggling or in those situations or homeless or whatever it was, they work harder than anyone at any job. Like, it's insane. I mean, even like people like drug addicts, you know how much money that they have to get to keep their habit up? It's not something that anyone willingly goes into. And it's so hard to get out of because your brain is so occupied with these really mundane things that nobody really considers, right?
That's really, really well captured in the book. You know, both your books, this brand new one, Good Rich People, and last year's If I Disappear, they were both touted on most anticipated books lists. And for an author, that's just got to be gold and such a validation. But I was wondering, as a writer, Eliza, is there a downside to that kind of huge expectation?
I mean, not to me, I guess. I feel like I'm just lucky to be here. And I just want to be able to like keep doing this. And at the end of the day, if everyone reads my book and no one likes it, then I guess maybe I shouldn't be doing it. But, you know, just to be able to have the opportunity and the chance to, for people to read it. And I guess whether they like it or not, that's like a privilege, you know? So I don't really feel that. I mean, I always obviously want to do better, and it would be terrible, I guess, if everyone hated it, but
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that.
Thanks.
You know, I just referenced If I Disappear, which came out, I think it was January of 2021. And there's another rip-roaring plot where this woman who's a true crime diehard, well, her favorite true crime podcast host goes missing. So the main character goes to look for her at this weird isolated ranch. So once again, you got a plot and a half right there and great characters. But what's interesting about that book was that, similar to Good Rich People, there's a strong theme underneath it. Homelessness, for example, in Good Rich People. And in this one, the disappearance, the daily disappearance of women seemed to strike me as a theme in that book. Was that disappearance, was that just a plot point that you were working with? Or did you intend to say something more about women and society?
Oh, no, absolutely. It was intentional. I think to give your books meaning, they have to mean something to you, right? So for me personally, my husband died, I guess, 7 years ago. For the first couple of years, I continued to live in England, and then I moved back to America. And I was living as a single woman in America for the first time in 10 years. And I felt the difference in the way that people treated me, like, so strongly, you know. And I was dating and I was on Tinder, and it was just like, it's shocking, man. When you go from being in a relationship and being sort of protected in a way to just being like a woman in the world and you're older. Yeah, I was really shocked and I guess saddened by the way that some people treated me and the way that I felt that society viewed me. So it was definitely wanting to just, I guess, talk about that and really explore that, because I think it's so weird being alone, and it's weird being alone and a woman in America.
Eliza, you are developing If I Disappear for television, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so I've been working on If I Disappear for a couple of years, but we also closed the deal on Good Rich People as well.
Wow, that makes so much sense. Well, so what are some of the first things you kind of have to think about when you're taking these characters that you developed and drafted and redrafted for the page, and now you got to bring them to the screen? What are some things as a writer that you have to think about with that?
Well, so for both projects, it's developing for television. So what that means is that, you know, usually the book would be your first season, but you have to be able to see beyond that, and you have to be able to create like a compelling story in a way beyond that. So for me, it's just been about exploring those characters and how to make their journeys sort of extend their journeys for like the main characters. And then also, a lot of television is ensemble. So it's also like bringing out the side characters more, which is a really cool, and I'm excited about with Good Rich People, because we only see it in Lila and Demi's perspective, but I think I want to find out more about, let's see, like, what's like Graham's like work life, like what's Margot's social life. So it's really cool in a way. And I really like, television is one of my favorite formats because it's about character. And that to me is one of the most compelling parts of the story, you know?
You've already got me thinking about, now who's going to play Graham?
People like pitch to me, you know, like different actors, and you're like, oh my God, it's so fun. Yeah, that's like one of the most fun parts of the process is when you get to speak to production companies and studios, because it's like these amazing people who have done these incredible things, and they're all so creative, and they give you insight into the stories, and they just kind of get you excited about it.
So when you heard this latest news about Good Rich People following in the footsteps of If I Disappear for, you know, television, did you stock up on Moe? Did you just put a case in every room of your house?
I don't even know, like, when. I'm sure I've had Moe before. I literally have no idea when was the last time I ever had that, to be honest. I keep saying I need to like celebrate, but it's hard with writing because things take so long, and you're kind of like, obviously right now we're all kind of isolated. So you feel like you're either always celebrating or never celebrating. You know what I mean? Like, if I celebrated every little thing, I'd just be trashed all the time.
Well, I'm going to raise a glass to you tonight, but I really am thrilled for you. You know, you strike me as so prolific. And yet I read when you were working on your YA book deal and you didn't enjoy doing it. You said in this interview that I listened to, and indeed you decided to take a step back from writing at that time. Can you talk about why you lost your passion for writing at that time? And more importantly, in some ways, what brought you back?
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I literally just wrote an essay about this. Like I finished it half an hour ago.
I can read your mind, Eliza.
But so no, because I wrote an essay that's just like about how to write without writing. So basically, like I said earlier in the interview, my husband passed away. And I think that was kind of a part of it. But there was one summer where I was writing so much. Like I wrote probably 6 novels in one summer, just trying to make something that would sell. And I kept sending them to my agent at the time. It's a different agent. And she kept rejecting them. And I was like, what the heck? Like, what's going on? So I was like, I need to figure this out. Like, why are these books not resonating? So one of my friends had recommended to me the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. So it's this book of exercises that's supposed to get you in touch with your creativity, right? And so I'm doing all these exercises, trying to find a way to write better. And I felt like the answers that I was getting was to stop writing. In the midst of that, I did this thing called the Santiago Trail, which is a pilgrimage through Spain. It's like you walk 500 miles. So I did that with my parents. And I also just sort of felt through that like the message I was getting was just to stop writing. So I parted ways with my agent. I literally drew a line in the sand and I moved back to America. I reconnected with stuff that I used to do as a child because I felt like that's kind of what the book was telling me to do. So I went back to like horseback riding. Like I eventually moved to Los Angeles because I wanted to start writing for like TV. I mean, I barely wrote for like 2 years. But all of that eventually led to like, If I Disappear, eventually led to Good Rich People, which for me has been a bigger deal than what I had before. And has also led to me being able to write for TV, which is a dream I had since I was a kid. So I think that for me, it was just about really listening to what my soul was telling me to do. You know, I think that I had to deal with a lot of trauma. I also had really lost my identity, I think, through being married and through grief and everything. So it was really about reconnecting with myself and like loving myself more to just be able to be a better creator, because I think that I had gotten so focused on trying to feel like I was succeeding that I just had completely lost sight of everything else in a way, you know?
In your Goodreads handle, I think that's where I read this, Eliza, you wrote, "I'm an author, screenwriter, and journalist, lucky to be here in more ways than one." Can you just amplify that last statement a little bit? What did you mean by the comment, "lucky to be here in more ways than one"?
Man, you really go deep on it. I mean, I guess I wrote it. You know, honestly, like I kind of have alluded to in this interview, I've been through so many, I say like ups and downs, but really I would just say like downs and like slightly less down. You know, like in my 20s, I went through like a really bad period. I guess I don't want to like get too triggering for people, but like, yeah, I had anxiety, depression, attempted to commit, you know, suicide before, all that kind of stuff. So it's very surreal for me that I'm still alive. And even, I guess, like on top of that I now have this really nice life. Like I said to you, you know, there was like a long period, probably like 10 or 15 years where I didn't ever believe that I would, I guess, like be around or have like a nice life or any, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I feel really lucky to be here in like a lot of different ways. And it's like surreal, you know?
Well, I feel lucky that you worked through that and that you're here and you're writing these good books. I have one last question. If you were to write a 6-word memoir, what would it be?
This is like such a tricky question, but what I came up with, am I allowed to swear?
You would not be the first.
Okay. So what I came up with is, "How is that bitch still alive?" Oh Lord. Yeah.
I just don't have a follow-up for that. If you think it's perfect, then it's perfect. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been really, really a thoughtful interview and a generous interview on your part, Eliza. So I really can't thank you enough for this time and, of course, for your excellent books.
Thank you so much. I hope I didn't like scare you or anything.
Not at all, Eliza. Only your books are scary in the best way. Listeners, be sure to check out Eliza Jane Brazier's new novel, Good Rich People, described in a starred review by Publishers Weekly as fiendish, idiosyncratic, and macabre, with much to relish. For more info, follow Eliza on Twitter at E. Jane Brazier. So that's it for this episode of Author, Can I Ask You? Thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you like what you heard, please spread the word and visit me on my website, joanybcole.com. In the meantime, take care, act civil, and don't be afraid to ask the odd questions.